Giannotto and Jeffrey phone guests appear on the Landers Nissan phone line. Now, back to Giannotto and Jeffrey. Mark Giannotto,
columnist from the Commercial Appeal.
And 92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright. The Giannotto and Jeffrey Show from the Supercut Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Connor Dunning is the executive producer here at the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. He's on Twitter at CDunning929ESPN. Connor, let's start here. What senior athlete are we showcasing today?
Yeah, so today I'm very excited to do the 929FM ESPN Mid-South Senior Athlete Salute because today's senior athlete actually comes from the high school I graduated from. Erin Milligan from Carterville High School is our senior athlete. She is a swimmer. And she is going to be attending Arizona State next year on a swimming scholarship, where she will be coached by Bob Bowman, who also happened to be Michael Phelps' former coach. So she is she's a beast in the water, man. She specializes in 100-meter freestyle with 200 IM. The swim team's coach is Justin Ingram, and I was actually a swimmer at Carterville High School, and my little brother was on the swim team at Carterville High School, and Justin is a fantastic coach. And the Carterville swim team, man, they've turned into kind of a powerhouse in the recent years. I went to their website. I couldn't find their accomplishments from this past season, but I can give you some from the 2018-2019 season. They were the undefeated Shelby County co-ed champions. Erin Milligan actually broke the county record in the 200 IM. The girls' relay team broke the county record in the 400 freestyle relay. 20 swimmers were qualified for state. At state, they did really well. They placed in the top 10 in almost every single category. And Erin Milligan was actually nominated for finalist for Swimmer of the Year that year. So Erin Milligan is basically a fish in the water in the Carterville swim team, man. They're powerhouses. So thank you so much to submitting, Erin. And you can go right now to 929ESPN.radio.com. And on the front page, you can just click on the link and go submit your seniors. Tomorrow, we're going to have a senior from Lewisburg High School. So make sure if you're in Lewisburg that you're listening tomorrow.
You mentioned Bob Bowman and Michael Phelps. Bob Bowman was the swimming coach at Michigan when I was at Michigan. And so Michael Phelps, after his first Olympics, I believe in 04.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. He attended Michigan for a couple years solely to
swim. Yeah.
Yeah. He like practiced with his coach. And I think he took some classes. I know he hung out with co-eds at night.
What? At Andrew Marchand. Andrew, let's just start here, I guess, with the news of the day, at least from a sports media perspective. Now that we've seen six episodes of The Last Dance, we've gotten kind of a sense of what the numbers look like and their consistency. How big of a success has The Last Dance been for ESPN?
Yeah, it's been huge. I mean, they don't have any live sports. Till tomorrow, they're starting with Korean baseball, but they haven't had any, no basketball, and no college hoops, nothing, through this period, no baseball. So, it's been big because it's been a success. For one, it's entertaining, and for two, we're all stuck at home and hungry for new content, especially sports content. So, it's been a big deal, and it was obviously the right move to move it up. Originally it was scheduled for June during the off days of the NBA Finals.
There's been some, I don't know if criticism is the right word, but critiques, I guess, that this is, essentially Jordan's people are executive producers. This is essentially the
I saw the NBA media was listed as on the credits last night. Yeah.
Well, it's because it's their footage, but it's this Bulls dynasty, according to Michael Jordan, in some ways. Has that affected your viewing experience at all? I think Ken Burns came out and kind of criticized the process a little bit. Have you thought about that at all? About whether we're getting the? I know he addressed the gambling stuff last night and some other. They've gone into some stuff that doesn't necessarily present Michael Jordan in the best light. But do you feel like we're getting the complete picture or close to the complete picture? Have you had any problems with, I guess, the production, the producers of this, how this was produced?
I don't have a problem with it, but I think if you look at it, you're not going to get a fully journalistic look at Michael Jordan and everything that, behind the scenes. I don't think they're really going to give you anything groundbreaking. But so I don't look at these documentaries as necessarily journalism, because for the most part, these TV presentations are really reproducing written words. And David Halberstam wrote a book about Michael Jordan, as did Sam Smith, who they cited yesterday, who wrote that when, you know, I was a kid, never reading that book, which gave you behind the scenes. So they've incorporated some of that stuff, but are they going to unmask Michael Jordan for having an even more serious gambling problem? No, there's no chance of that happening. And so I guess it's twofold. Like, for me personally, I don't look at that. I'm not watching that. Like, I'm going to learn something new. What I do think that is somewhat revealing is that some of the video that was shot, especially during those seasons, that was behind the scenes, you get a little bit more of a peek through the keyhole of what Michael Jordan is like and was like. And he is pretty forthright in certain opinions that come across. And I will say that with these interviews, they are revealing in the sense of, you know, things we've kind of known, but even see even more illuminated in how bitter Jordan is towards somebody like Isaiah Thomas or Jerry Krause, or just, you know, how much motivation he took from just feeling like he was slighted in the smallest, most minute ways.
Andrew, in terms of, you know, as you're mentioning, you know, is this a piece of journalism? Probably not. I don't think it would meet the standards, but at the same time, it is. You know, it's a look that we probably wouldn't have gotten. And my bigger question is, now that we see so many, you know, particularly in the NBA, you know, LeBron has his own production company. Kobe had, you know, had his own production company. We're now starting to see that, you know, Tom Brady was very pretty much the lead editor on anything about him from behind the scenes. Is this about as good of a look as we can get into kind of, you know, a fair look that we'll see from some of these bigger athletes now? Because it seems to me that they're going to have so much control of the footage and whatnot. And if you want to release it, you know, I don't know if we're going to see some kind of monster, you know, like we saw with Metallica, where basically, you know, that we got to see a band ripping apart at the seams, trying to put together an album. I just wonder if that's kind of where this is headed in the future.
No doubt about it. I think that's just true of all, you know, sports and all media. Because people can have a direct connection with their audience, and they can bypass the middleman. But what we have, you know, when you're in the media, is you still, I think, like, my job is to tell you things you can't see or hear. And so, and that comes from reporting. So I don't think it's a different job than what the producers of The Last Dance are doing. And so to answer your question, yeah, I think we're getting as close to somewhat of the truth that we're going to get. Like, I don't want to speculate on things that aren't in it, because that's not fair. But, you know, I think it's a fair criticism if you say, like, you see how Michael Jordan is, everyone's revering him, but he kind of comes across a little bit of a jerk sometimes. So they could go further into that. I don't know if that's needed, but, like, I think there are teammates that he probably who weren't as good, obviously, on the court. So people, you know, kind of, there's a high school mentality that Jordan was the best, so he can do whatever he wants and act however he wanted. But even with Jerry Krause, the GM, I mean, he comes across as a bully. I mean, he's always talking about his size and you know, kind of alluding to how he looks. And I don't know. I don't think that's a good look for Michael Jordan. And again, I guess, you know, Jerry Krause at that point had a position of power over Michael Jordan, but he's always belittling him, and I just think it's unneeded, and it just doesn't. You see, the issue always with guys like Jordan or Tiger Woods is that they're presented, especially commercially, as if they're like perfect, and everyone should want to be like Mike. And yeah, of course, you want to be the best at what you do, like Mike was at playing basketball. But usually, like anybody else, they have their imperfections, and maybe it's not on the court or the field, but other places.
We're talking to Andrew Marchand, the sports media columnist for the New York Post. Does an awesome job up there, breaks a lot of stories. You should follow him on Twitter, at Andrew Marchand. Andrew, I want to switch gears here a little bit. We're in the middle of this pandemic. You mentioned, you know, people are starved for live sports, so much so that ESPN has bought rights to the Korean Baseball League, so we're going to get some live Korean baseball this week. But I wanted to talk bigger picture with, you know, we've got the NBA rights, TV media rights coming up. There's college sports media rights coming up in the not so distant future. Has this pandemic, you know, because it's obviously hurt media companies, you know, Disney, Viacom, what have you, they don't have as much money as they did a few months ago, but obviously it's very clear the demand for live sports seems to be exacerbated, if you will, because we don't have it, or people realize how much they love live sports. Do you think this has increased the value of these, you know, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, college sports? Do you think this has increased the value of those packages, or decreased it, or is it just the same as it was pre-pandemic?
At this point, I'd say it's the same, but you know, how long will this go on? Hopefully, we all are hoping we have sports soon, but I do think you can't look at it objectively and not think that there is a worst-case scenario where we don't get sports this year. I think that's possible. I think it's less probable. I think it's more likely we will have some, you know, major league sports. But so to answer your question, I don't think that they're losing value as of now. But in terms of gaining it, you know, when they come back, I mean, there's going to be a big appetite for people to watch, even more so than ever. But it will level off. So to answer your question, you know, let's go on the assumption that at some point within the next year, we get something close to normalcy, whatever the new normalcy, where people can go to sporting events and where, you know, everything is back to pretty much normal, whatever that means. Then I think the rights will be at a similar place that they are now, which is going to be still going up and astronomical. And, you know, the big one is, of course, the NFL, which could be negotiating its rights deals this year. And so, you know, that one's going to be a, you know, multi-billion dollar deal that all these huge corporations are centering their TV offerings around the NFL. So from Disney to CBS to NBC, Comcast, they're all building that, and of course also Fox.
Andrew, on this same kind of topic, to me, I can fundamentally understand that if I'm a media company, I understand the value of the NFL, and I understand that I need this in terms of a piece of live content. And I can understand the value of live sports. However, I can't just, you know, make up money out of thin air. I guess my big question is, how much will what we've seen happen and you know, financial projections? At the end of the day, the market is what someone's willing to pay for your piece of content. And I can see where someone values the NFL property at a very high number. But if there aren't the companies to pay it, I can see where that could create problems. How close to a situation like that are we?
Yeah, I think the NFL is the one where I would say they're not, I'm not going to say bulletproof. I'm not going to go that far. But I do think that the NFL is one where these companies are going to go all out. And I don't think the NFL will suffer. You look at the top 50 programs every year, and usually almost every single one, usually it's 49 out of 50 Academy Awards getting the one out of the 50, where the NFL is the highest rated show, top 50. And then, of course, the Super Bowl gets 100 million people viewing it. So I don't think the NFL will suffer. Now, could college suffer? You know, like a place like the Pac-10, which has a deal coming up in terms of football, could they, you know, not do as well? Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's where they'll cut some corners, possibly, with lesser deals. But the NFL is one that I don't see it. You know, baseball is interesting because I think ESPN's going to try to get that Turner, or at least were. They were going to try to get that Turner playoff package. Turner still wants in. So, you know, they might have to, you know, stick on that. I think baseball would prefer to go with ESPN. It just doesn't really makes sense when it just switches to Turner in the postseason. That's always odd, and even after it's been a long time now, it still feels odd. But they might not have that luxury.